1 Samuel chapter number 16, you don't have to turn there if you don't want to, but David has been anointed king, and Saul at that time is king over Israel. And if you look back at that passage of Scripture, you'll find that when David was anointed, the Spirit of God came upon him from that day forward, the Bible says. And then the next chapter starts and it says that the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And from that time on, Saul purposed in his heart to kill David. But David was faithful. David waited upon God. And over in 1 Samuel then in chapters number 21, I'll give you just a little bit of background right there. And this chapter right here, David is on the run from Saul. David had opportunities to take Saul's life, but David was waiting upon the Lord. David had trusted God. He knew that he had been anointed and the Holy Ghost of God was upon him. And so he was waiting on God to fulfill his promises. That sounds better, don't it? That'd keep you awake. And so David now is on the run, and he goes to the house of God hungry, and he asks for bread. And so there was a priest there by the name of Ahimelech, and he gave him holy bread or hollowed bread there out of the house of God. And he also gave him the sword that belonged to Goliath. And David goes on, and he leaves there, and he's still on the run. He winds up in the cave over in Adullam. And as the story goes on right here, Saul, in chapter number 22, he's whining right here, and he wants David's life. He's pursuing David, but he can't find him. And he says down here that speaking to all those that are about him, he said that all of you have conspired against me. There's none that showeth me my son that hath made a league with the son of Jesse. There's none of you that sorrow for me or showeth unto me that my son has stirred up my servant against me to lie in wait as at this day. But there happened to be a man there that day by the name of Doeg. I guess that's the way you pronounce it. He was there at the house of God when David came to Ahimelech and asked for bread. And he took notice of what was going on there at the house of God. And so he knew that David had been there, and Saul is now looking for David. And Saul says, all you men around me, you just hadn't given me any information. Y'all are on David's side. And so this fellow by the name of Doeg here, he sees an opportunity to advance himself. He was a chief herdsman of Saul, the Bible says. But now he wants to move up the ladder and get a higher position. And maybe there was a reward for the information that he gave. But he began to tell Saul there, that he saw David over there at the house of God. And this priest over there by the name of Ahimelech had given him bread and had given him the sword of Goliath there. And so Saul calls for Ahimelech, and when he comes, he says, well, David's done you no harm. Why you seek his life? And he begins to sort of defend David. And so Saul is enraged, and he calls for his men around there to fall upon Ahimelech and to kill him. Well, they were scared to. He was a man of God. But this old fellow by the name of Doeg here, He does the dirty work there for Saul. He falls upon Ahimelech and upon all his household and even the whole town there. 85 priests in all he kills, and goes through the whole town of the priests there. Kills men, women, children. He wipes out everything, even the animals there, the Bible says. He was a rough character. And he did all this to gain favor with Saul. But now I want you to turn over to Psalms 52. Psalms 52. David has given us a psalm right here in the Word of God that speaks about this incident that takes place back over there in 1 Samuel.
in Psalms 52. If you dare, say amen. Amen. All right, he starts off right here. He says, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness, Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." Wow. Hey, Brother Dwayne, they had Democrats back then, too. Matter of fact, I think if you went down the family tree to old Dueg there, you might find a Pelosi or a Schiff or a Nadler in there. A lot of lying going on back in David's day. This was a political problem anyway. David was going to take the throne, and Saul didn't like it. But he goes on right here. He says, "God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living, Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints." I remember back in 2014 preaching out of verse number 8 where he says, "I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God." I remember preaching out of this verse right here, and the title was Going Green in 2014. But tonight, I want to preach a different message out of the same verse right here, and how to triumph over your enemy in 2020. All of us, if we're going to do anything for God, as David was a man after God's own heart. He had the call of God upon him. He had a purpose in life that God had placed upon him. And if you're a child of God tonight, you have a purpose in life that God has saved you, put you in the family of God. He has a purpose for your life and something for you to be doing in life for him, for his glory and for his honor. And so, if we're going to serve God, if we're going to do anything in life that's worthwhile, hey, we're going to have to face some enemies in life. The devil's not pleased, hey, with God and with people that's going to serve God. He's going to fight you all the way through life. And so, first of all, right here, I want us to look at this and notice that this was a time of trouble. A time of trouble. We live in perilous times in the day that we live. We're in the last days, and the Bible says that the devil is outraged in these last days, and he's coming against the people of God in these days. And we have to be on guard against the wiles of the devil and be on watch. Amen? For the things that the devil would upset us, and he wants to steal, to kill, and destroy the people of God. We need to be aware. If we're going to triumph over him, we're going to have to apply ourselves to the house of God, to the word of God, and to the things of God. Amen. If not, you'll give place to him, and I guarantee you there's destruction coming your way, and disappointments and disasters will come your way in life. David was a man after God's own heart, and even though David was right in the center of God's will, David found trouble and trials going on in his life. So when things come our way in life and we're doing everything we can to serve God and to be in the center of God's will, don't think that everything's going to be perfect, because it may not be. When we have an opportunity in life, when things are going real good in life, then we ought to be thankful. We ought to praise God and thank him every day for his goodness, for his mercy, and for his grace, for all he does for us. Because in the morning you might find yourself in the darkest valley you've ever been in life. That's where the devil wants to put you and destroy you and discourage you and knock you out of the house of God and the place that God has placed you in life. So I want you to notice in this first verse right here, David is addressing this old character by the name of Doeg. I kind of think his name might be Dog. It's easier to say anyway. D-O-E-G. How do you pronounce that? Is it Doeg or is it Dog? Or I kind of like Dog. But he says, "Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually." A mighty man. He was mighty in wickedness. He was mighty in wickedness. There's a lot of folks in this old world today that's high up on a pedestal in the eyes of man, but in the eyes of God, they're wicked. Wicked. And they, listen, when we want leadership in our church, when we want leadership in our country, in our towns, we ought to look for righteous people. We ought to look for godly people. And for our president, we ought to pray for him every day. Amen? God's put him in that position, no doubt. Hey, God establishes kings and kingdoms, and everything in this old world does not take God by surprise. And we ought to be praying for our president. This old man here, but the psalmist right here says, "Oh, mischievous man, oh, mighty man, the goodness of God endureth continually." In other words, David was saying, you might be boastful, you might be proud, you might be bold, you got blood on your hands, but God, hey, God is in control. And God's going to have His day with you one of these days. Boy, I'd love to tell that bunch in Washington that. Amen. They're so high and mighty up there, think they are. But listen to me, friends, God's in control of this whole world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we're His sheep. We're the people of His pasture. And thank God that we are. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of wicked people in this old world today. There's a lot of wicked people in high places today. But I'm telling you, God is still in control. It may be a time of trouble in this old world. But listen, if you've got Jesus, you've got enough. Amen. Listen, he calls him a mighty man. He calls him a mischievous man. In verse 2, he says, "Thy tongue deviseth mischief like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good." Sounds a whole lot like a lot of congressmen and senators, don't it? "Lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness." Lying. You ever, I know some of you listen to the news. Isn't it amazing how you can take one person on one side of the aisle and a person on the other side of the aisle? This one says one thing and this one contradicts. And this one says one thing and this one will contradict. Somebody's lying. Amen. We need to learn how to discern things. Amen. When some of the politicians get up and speak, we ought to have sense enough to know if they're lying or not. Amen. We ought to do some digging and to see who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. David right here, he's got something to say to this mighty man of evil right here. Mischievous man. Hey, you ever heard that old saying, every dog's going to have his day? Amen, that's true. That's true. And even we as saved people are going to stand before God one day. We're going to give an account. We're going to give an account. And the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And yet, a certain element of me, when I meet God, when I stand before Him in judgment, there's a fear there of falling into the hands of God. And even though I know that I'm not going to go to hell, I still have an element of fear about it. But I thank God for grace. Thank God that my sins are gone. A time of trouble. There was a mighty man. There was a mischievous man. But there was God's man. God had his hand on David. And David was trusting in the mercies of God. The mercies of God. Listen. We've got God's word. We've got God's promises. And in times of trouble, in times of distress, in times when we find ourselves in trouble, in valleys and things in this old world, listen, it's that time in life when we need the Word of God abiding in our heart, the promises of God, and we know that God's never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. He's got us in His hands. And listen, friend, God is in control of all things in our life. And this is what David was trying to relate in this psalm right here. That even though evil is all about me, even though I'm having to run for my life and hide from Saul, God is still in control. And God's will is going to be done. Amen. So it was a time of trouble, but notice too, it was a time of trust. A time of trust. Can you trust God? Have you ever come in a, has there ever been a situation in your life when all you had was God? And you had to trust Him. You had to rely on Him. You had to call upon Him. It may be that God will put you in that situation someday. I remember, I've been to the bedside of folks in the hospital, Brother David, when the doctors have done all they could do. And all you can do then is call upon God, cry out to God, plead for mercy, plead for help. And I've seen God come through when the doctors had done all they could do. Sister Lanessa right there, she's sitting in this audience today. I remember me and Brother Ken going to Birmingham over there. And the doctors really didn't even have any hope for her. But God. He heard and He helped. God had mercy. And there's others. God, He's a powerful, almighty God, and He loved to hear His children call upon Him. And He can answer and He can help when there's nothing that man can do. Time of trust. But this man in verse number 7, the Bible says right here, lo, this man, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But isn't this, there's something amazing right here in this passage of Scripture right here. When Doeg or Dog saw David, it was down at the house of God. He saw the priest give David the holy bread. He saw the priest give David the sword of Goliath. But now his heart wasn't right with God. He had wickedness in his heart. He had set his affection on riches more than the riches of God. Amen. That's what the Bible says. He trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. You better watch your heart. Amen. The Bible says to keep your heart with all diligence. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Where's your riches at tonight? What are you focused on tonight? Is your mind focused in life on the things of God? Or is it on getting rich on the things of this old world? This world's got a lot to offer you to pull you away from God. Be careful. Be careful that you don't lose your focus like this man did. He saw the riches. He saw he could move up the ladder here with Saul. And he took his eyes off the things of God and he was strengthened in his wickedness. The devil will lead you down the wrong path. He'll lead you down the wrong path. And the end is always destruction with him. The enemy and his riches In Psalms chapter 10, verse 4. Psalms chapter 10. And verse 4, the Bible says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." That's a shame. That's what's wrong in Washington. God's not in all their thoughts. All these politicians up there, all they're interested in is fattening their pocketbooks. I believe that. Their main purpose, when they get elected, their main purpose in Washington is to get reelected, not to serve the people. Well, am I preaching right? Truth. That's the mess we in today. The enemy in his riches, the enemy in his reckoning. There's a reckoning day. There's a payday. Verse number 5, he says, "God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away, pluck thee out of thy dwelling place, and root thee out of the land of the living." Strong statement, isn't it? Every dog's going to have his day. The enemy in his riches, the enemy in his reckoning. But the entrustment of the righteous. We've got somebody we can trust in. We've got things that we can put our trust and our faith in tonight that's proven. God has proved himself over and over and over again throughout the pages of this Bible and throughout your life and throughout my life. And we'll just take inventory and see what God's done for us. He's proved himself to us. He says this, right here in verse number 8, he says, "But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. David, he's in distress. He's running for his life, but he says, "I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you." God may put us in a situation where we've got to just call upon him and put all our faith and trust in him. Trust in the Word of God. We've got a Bible. We've got the living Word of God right here. God wants us to know what this Bible says. He wants to speak to us through His Word and let us grow our faith and put our faith in what He's promised in the Word of God. It's truth. It's something. It's a sure foundation that you can put your faith and trust in. A time of trouble. Time of trust. But lastly, this right here, a time of triumph. Triumph. David speaks of something right here, showing his faith right here in God, just like it's already taken place. He says this in verse 7, "Lo, this is a man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, strengthened himself in his weakness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I'll praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it's good before thy saints." I'm talking about a time of triumph. I'm talking about living a triumphant year in 2020, triumphant over the enemies that come against the child of God. The enemies that Brother Randy spoke about, the mind. The devil, how he likes to get in your mind and work in your mind to bring you down and get you discouraged and get you defeated. We have to be on guard for these things. Notice this, first of all, there's a parallel in verse number 8. David says, "I am like a green olive tree." The olive and the olive tree was a most important tree in the Middle East over there, over in Israel. It was a very important tree. Some of the things it was used for was for food, medicine, cosmetics, and it was the oil of the olive was used for anointing kings, for priests, for anointing holy things at the house of God, and even visitors, when they came into one's house, they would anoint them with oil. It was a show of affection, a show of honor to a guest. And it was used to produce oil to light lamps with, and the temple lamps burned continually with this oil from the olive. And it was a symbolic of God's presence. In John chapter number 8, Jesus, the anointed one of God, he said, "I am the light of the world." Other symbolic examples are faithfulness, fruitfulness, honor, joy, happiness. In Psalms 23, David said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." The anointing of the oil, blessings. It's symbolic of blessings. It's symbolic of the Holy Ghost. But today, we as Christians have an inward anointing. How blessed we are. How blessed we are to have an inward anointing of the Holy Ghost, all of God, in our lives. To talk to us, to guide us, to open the Word of God to us, and to lead us into a throne of grace that we can pray and call upon our God. What a blessing it is when the oil of the Holy Ghost, like David in the 23rd Psalm, when the Holy Ghost floods your life, it fills your cup to a place of running over. What a blessing that is to have that fellowship with God and that experience of the God of heaven, the fullness of God. We have that as a blessing to us. And so Jesus, in Matthew 5 and 14, he says, "Ye are the light of the world." And we need to keep the oil of the Holy Ghost in us on fire, friend, and be a light out in this old dark and desperate world today. There's people that's looking for something and somebody that's real and somebody that's not fake in this old world today. We are the light of the world today. Make sure you keep your lamps filled with oil. Amen. Every day you ought to ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost and guide you as you walk through life's journey. And ask God to help you to be a light to somebody along the way. What a parallel. The olive tree. David, he says, "I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God." You know that olive tree, they say, I've never been over there. I've never seen one. But they thrive in a dry and a barren place and rocky ground. Why? Because their roots run real, real deep. 20 feet, 25 feet deep, roots run down. These trees are sturdy trees. They're stable trees. David said, "I'm going to stay in the house of God. I'm rooted, I'm grounded there, and that's where I'm going to be productive at." You know, this old olive tree, the Bible tells us it thrives on rocky, barren places, and it's to be pruned from time to time. As the tree gets older and some of the old dead branches out there have to be cut off, some of the wild-looking branches, they cut them back and they put out new shoots and they bear fresh fruit and new fruit upon them. God has to prune us back sometimes. God has to trim us up sometimes. Cut out some of the old dead stuff in our life that we can bear some fresh fruit in our life. These olive trees, from what I read of them, some of them live to be hundreds of years old. And if it dies, then from the roots of it, there'll be new shoots to put out, new trees. If we're rooted and grounded in the house of God, when our journey is ended, there can be something still continued on from the life that we lived. Amen? The parallel, the place, he said, the house of God. I'm like a green olive tree out in the woods? No. I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. The house of God's important in your life. Amen. I appreciate all the parents that's come in tonight bringing their children to the house of God. It's an important place to be. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of peace. It's a place of joy, instruction, correction, all these things that these kids need and you and I need. We can get help at the house of God. And David, in all his distress, he says, I'm still like a green olive tree in the house of God. Planted. Planted. We need some folks to get planted in the house of God. Amen? I wonder how many folks went home today, sat down and looked at the watch, and I wonder if I'll go to church tonight. Whew, I don't feel like I'm tired. Don't matter if a preacher studied 8 hours, prayed all day, got a message just for you. Well, I ain't going. Or, I'm like a green olive tree at the house of God. I want to be there. That's where I thrive. That's where I get strength. That's where I get fertilized to produce, to grow. The place I'm talking about, how to triumph over your enemy in 2020. If God blesses us come to the end of this year, I wonder, did you look back at the end of 2019? Anybody look back at the year and look at some of the things that took place in your life, some of the events that took place? Anybody look back and say, well, I wish I'd have done this different. I wish I'd have done that a little different. Or maybe you look back and said, God sure was good to me this year. God's been faithful. We're coming into a new year in 2020. I want you to be triumphant through this year over the enemy that's going to come against you. And he is. He is. According to this Bible right here, if you're a child of God, you got an enemy that's going to try to steal, kill, and destroy you through this year. Stay in the house of God. Get planted. Be in your place. Anybody listening? Anybody listening to me? Be in your place. God saved you for a purpose. He wants you at the house of God. The parallel, the place, the patience. Look at verse number 9. He says this right here, I'll praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Anybody in here impatient? You know what we do when we pray? We want God to answer before we get down on our knees. God does things on His time, His way. It's a great lesson to learn in our lives, but God's faithful. The Bible says that His ears are open to the righteous. If you're saved, if you're right with God, He'll hear your prayers. And He'll answer your prayers. Saul wants to kill me. All I can do is just be patient and wait upon God. Sometimes we just got to be still. Sometimes we just got to be still so we can see the salvation of the Lord. I know we're in a busy, rush world. But be still. Let God move. Amen? Be production. If we get planted in the house of God, our faith will increase. Our fruit will increase. Our foundation will be stronger. Get rooted. Then verse 9, the praise. I'll praise thee forever, he said. I'll praise thee forever, because thou hast done it. David was looking out by faith. David knew that Saul was somewhere out there wanting to kill him. But he said, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to praise you because I believe in you, because I trust your word, because you anointed me king over Israel, and I'm just going to believe you, God, that you're going to take care of my situation. I'll praise thee forever. You know, you may come in here Sunday morning in a bad mood. Things may go wrong for you this week. But can you praise him anyway? What David's saying right here. This old wicked man, what he's done, Saul wanting to kill me. He said, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe what you say, God. And I'm going to praise you. Praise him. God inhabits the praise of his people. We ought to praise him every chance we get and thank him for what he's done for us. If everything in life falls apart. If you lose everything you've got tomorrow. But if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you're saved, you're sealed, and you know that you're going to heaven one day, you've got something to praise him about in the worst situation of your life. Because when the end comes, when it's all said and done, that's all that matters anyway. It's where you're going to spend eternity at. To praise. Lastly with this. The planting of the tree. Planting of the tree. Get planted. Are you listening? Get planted at the house of God. And see what God will do in your life this year. You got an enemy after you who wants to kill you. You better turn to God and trust him this year. Amen. God loves you. God wants to bless you and help you to be triumphant over your enemies. All right. Stand with us.